We live in a world of 24-hour rolling news programs. And it seems that there is always something else that can be said about a situation. There never seems to be a final word sort of what may be said. And yet in our evening sermon series, we're looking at that word, that final word. It stems from a verse in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, which reads like this. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And Jamie will look at that next week. But it reminds us that Jesus is God's final word. And already in this series, we've looked at Jesus, the final word of salvation. There is no one else through whom we may be saved. Last week, we looked at Jesus as the word of truth. He is the truth. And tonight, we see that Jesus is the final word in terms of judgment. I wonder how that sits with you. I was at a conference not so long ago, and judgment came up, and one clergyman immediately responded, said, "Oh, I can't accept a God of wrath." To speak of judgment and God's wrath is not nice. We like the comfortable stuff of God's love. We want Jesus meek and mild. And yet, we come to passages like this one that Mike's read for us just a little while ago. I remember some years back, I was driving down the M4 in my previous car. It was late at night on a Tuesday evening, and I was exultant because the mighty Kettering Town had won. It doesn't happen very often. But as I was driving along at a very fast 60 miles an hour, believe that? Yeah, you know, sorry. And suddenly I lost power. And the car slowed to about 40 miles an hour and a warning light came on. And I thought, oh, bother. But the warning light was a help. It had happened before, so I knew what action to take to get me home in the car. Now, in a sense, the message of God's wrath, of God's judgment to come, is a little bit like a warning light. A warning light for us to look at our lives and make sure that we take action so that we are ready for his return. So that as we were, we get finally to home in heaven. Now, because the language John uses here in Revelation 19 is beyond our human understanding, it's very graphic and very pictorial, I want to think tonight of it as a little bit like a play. So, you know, you go to a play and you watch the cast perform and then the play comes to an end, the curtain falls, then it rises again. And the chorus come on stage and they take their bows and get a clap, and then those with the small parts come on, and finally the main characters come out to take their final bow. Well, this play begins with the words, "Then I saw heaven opened." I saw heaven opened. The curtain of heaven has lifted. And what is it that John sees? There before me, it'll follow in the words in the Bible, verse 11. I saw heaven opened, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. He sees a white horse. A white horse was a symbol of victory. And on this horse is this rider, Faithful and True, who is Jesus. And in a sense, John sees the main character of the Bible narrative on his horse. Yes, the armies of heaven are there, the angelic hosts, in verse 14. But the whole focus is upon the main character. And the reason for him coming out is not to take a bow, but to bring judgment and to execute the wrath of God upon those who have opposed his will. Now, what is this judgment like? Well, the first thing we see is that this judgment will be just. Again, look at verses 11 and the beginning of 12 with me, if you would. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was the white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire. On his head are many crowns. With justice he judges. The first thing I want to say from this passage is that his judgment, the judgment Jesus brings at the end of time, will be just and fair because of who he is. He is faithful and true. He is true, that he is consistent, and his judgment will can reflect his consistent character. Friends, I think sometimes people worry about judgment because, oh, will it all be fair? Will it all be right? When Jesus comes to judge, he will not act unjustly. There'll be no accusation at the end of, well, that doesn't seem fair to me. His judgment will be perfectly judged. Now, we live in an age, don't we, where actually we're not always able to see the forces that are arrayed against us. The forces of law and order struggle to see. You go to an airport, and what do you have to do? You have to go through security where everything is x-rayed because it's difficult to see those who might be terrorists or enemies. We can't see the enemy. And yet with God it's not so. God's eyes see everything. There's that wonderful sentences in Psalm 44, verses 20 and 21. If we have forgotten the name of the Lord our God, or spread out our hands to a foreign God, would not God have discovered it? Since he knows the secrets of our hearts. This is why God's judgment will be just, because God knows what is in your heart and what is in my heart. He knows where we're at with him. We may be able to fool everybody else into thinking we're jolly nice people. We can't fool God into thinking that. So many times people have questioned God's judgment. And often the question boils down to, will God be just? As if somehow we are more just or we are more loving than God is. Friends, God's knowledge of us and others is so much greater than ours. His justice is so much greater than ours. His love for people is so much greater than ours. And so we need to have no fear that his judgment will be anything other than just. However, the very fact that Jesus will return as the final word of judgment should be a warning light. A warning light to us to take a jolly good look at the way we live our lives. His judgment will be just. And secondly, his judgment will be right. Verses 12 through to the end. I'm just going to read verses 12. He has his name written on him. No one knows for himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood. His name is the Word of God. I wonder what is your worldview? What is your worldview? I struggle with that question because I was asked it in an interview and my mind went blank. And I know what my worldview is, but for those moments, my mind went totally blank. But what is your worldview? You know, as we see what is going on in Gaza with the resulting loss of life of the what is going on there, as we see what continues in the Ukraine, and we've already prayed about these things tonight, I wonder what is your worldview as you look at what's going on in our world. Are we, in the words of Private Fraser from Dad's Army, all doomed? What's your worldview? Well, friends, the worldview of the Bible, is at the heart of this passage here. And the worldview of the Bible is that no matter what it seems, God is in control of our world. Yes, there are forces of evil that reject God's will, bring chaos and suffering to our world. But one day, they will be brought under the rule of Christ and judgment will be worked out. And that judgment will be just, and that judgment will be right, because Jesus alone is fit to judge. In verse 12, it says, on his head are many crowns. Not just one crown. He is the King of Kings. He is the sovereign over everything. And that's drawn out again at the end of the passage, where it names him in verse 16. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the universal king, the universal sovereign, ruler over all the nations. And every knee one day will bow to him as king. See, this letter, this revelation, was originally sent to Christians in Rome. And they were suffering under persecution. Now, and the words may not have made their situation any easier, but it was a vital reminder to them, in the face of all that they were suffering, that God is God, not the Roman Emperor. It is God who reigns, and it's ultimately his, under his reign, that is perfect and complete. The whole of creation will one day come under the reign of God. And the message from the passage and elsewhere is that Jesus will come as judge over the whole world. And it's meant to be a message of comfort to those who are prepared for his coming. Just this week, we've heard the news that fuel will be allowed into Gaza. It may not be a lot, but it will be some. And that's brought hope. And this message here, that God one day will be coming in judgment, was meant to bring hope, and it did bring hope to these Christians in Rome, that though their plight was difficult, though things were very tough, one day it would be over. But of course, Jesus has not returned yet. The play, as it were, continues. The final curtain has not come down. The rider has not come out on his white horse. And so, we need to be preparing for judgment. As John penned these words, he was sure what he wanted for those readers. And that was to be reassured. To be reassured that their struggles were worth it. That their battles as followers of Jesus Christ was worth it. And that one day, those who oppressed them would face God's judgment and God's wrath, while they would know God's pleasure. But what does it say to you and I here at the end of 2023? It's been pretty dreadful weather recently. You've got to be English and talk about the weather, so I'll talk about the weather. It's been pretty dreadful weather recently, and what's happened is the Environment Agency send out lots of warnings of floods and so on. It reminds me of some years back when a similar situation, a warning was sent out to the people of Hemsby, a village in Norfolk. And it went out early one morning, and it gave them less than a day to take action. And many people were evacuated from their homes. And as it happens, nothing could be done to save some of their homes. And some homes and seven families lost their homes to the sea that day. But others heeded the warning, and they got acted, and their homes were saved from the onrushing tide. And listening to the radio, I heard of others whose houses anyway were secure, and the warning message only reassured them that that security was there. But I also heard of others going out to help those who were in difficulties and trying to save their homes. Now, I say this because I think in a sense it gives us a picture of what we do as we prepare for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ as King and as Judge. We recognize one day Jesus will come. And yet 2,000 years have gone since that first coming. And the reason for his delay is so that we are prepared. Those words in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's why he waits. That's why the return has not happened. Giving people time to come to repentance. And so we're in the same sort of situation. So the warning has gone out. The warning to encourage us to get our house in order, to recognize Jesus as Lord, and to come in repentance for our sin and accept his love. And the illustration of the house, in a sense, is very good. You know, those problems on the coast where houses tip over into the sea. Because Jesus said this, didn't he? Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine, does not put them into practice, is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a crash. Jesus knew, and friends, we need to recognize that with some people, no matter how many warnings are sent out, they will not hear. Now, I hope that's none of us here this evening. God is a great God, and he's a God of love and compassion. And he's shown that in sending the Lord Jesus Christ to die on a cross so that by faith we might know God's love, we might be forgiven, we might be restored as God's children. But he's also a God of justice. And if we will not come back to him, if we will not accept his love, then one day we will have to face the wrath of God. Here is a warning. And in sadness, I recognize that for some, the house of their lives cannot be saved because they will not heed that warning. But I hope that some of us will take that warning seriously, because God makes it clear that I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Friends, the warning light in my car, the warnings from the Environment Agency are there to make us sit up, to think, to act. And this warning also is there to make us sit up and act, an encouragement to respond to God's love while we have time. God wants none of us to perish. But for many of us here, I recognise that we've heard these words of warning, and they do make us uncomfortable, but they also bring us a reassurance. They bring us a reassurance that was intended for these original leaders, because they remind us that if we are followers of Jesus Christ, if we are building our house on the rock of Christ and his word, then yes, storms will come, and they do come. Life may be tough, but ultimately we are secure. And we are secure in Jesus Christ. And one day we will be with him in heaven. And there'll be no more pain, no more suffering, and every tear will be wiped away. So as we hear the warning, if we know we are secure and safe, we rejoice in that. But it doesn't lead us to complacency, because others are in that situation where they need help. They need us to be pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, it goes back to what I was saying about the a notice Andrea gave out this morning. and those flyers and those opportunities that Christmas brings to us to reach out to people and share God's love with them. The warning light in my car, the warnings sent out by the Environment Agency, were not comfortable. The warning that comes through the passage here of the return of the one who is the Word of God, King of Kings, but who comes to bring that final judgment on the evil of this world, it is not comfortable. And yet it reassures those of us who are following Christ that one day the pains and injustices of this life will be done away with. But it also encourages us to help those who are at risk to find their hope and assurance in Jesus.